future is now. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Next Now podcast. I'm Cheryl Cran, and I have a really, really special guest on today's episode. I'm really excited to have Raimundo Rodolfo, who I've had the pleasure of working with the City of Coral Gables. We worked together on a number of Future of Work events where I was a guest speaker, and Raimundo would present on all the initiatives around smart cities and the technology innovation that he's been leading in the city for quite some time now. So what's really fascinating and what I really appreciate about Raimundo is that he was visionary with this about at least 10 years ago. And now what's happening is he's benefiting and his city is benefiting from a lot of the initiatives coming to fruition. So Raimundo, welcome. Yay. So glad to get you to be able to join us.
Thank you, Sarah. A big pleasure and honor to be with you today and with your team and with your audience. So thank you.
So please, let's start with you telling everyone what your role is and what you do and what your team does, and then we'll get into the questions around today's episode.
Thank you. Yes. So I am the Chief Innovation Officer and also Director of Innovation and Technology with City of Coral Gables. And I came from the industry. So in the early 90s, I started in telecommunications with big companies. And then after more than 10 years, I joined the city in 2004. It was supposed to be only like a 2 years try in the public sector. It became 18 years when I'm the CIO now. And I have had the opportunity, the honor of building an amazing team. So we have a great team, 25 professionals in different disciplines, from electrical and network engineers to software engineers and analysts and business people and people with soft skills too that help us to bring things together with our customers. And so this great team today, so we have maybe a core team that has been with us for multiple years, and we have new professionals that have joined the team recently and help us to bring us to the next level, I think, of digital transformation and smart cities for quality of life.
Yeah, fantastic. So I do want to talk about the smart cities, but I would like to start with sort of your perspective, because as a CIO, I know that you have done a lot of work with Gartner. You've been recognized by Gartner for your guys' progress in innovation. So that's fantastic. So let's start with the first question, though, around technology and people, because here at Next Mapping, we are all about people first, helping leaders and teams be more effective in a technology-enabled world. From your perspective, how is technology, you know, helping that people equation, not just from a smart city, like from a consumer city member, but from a workplace perspective? Yeah. And I know that's a big question, but give me your best from your vantage point. Yeah.
So to me, and I tell you, coming from other sectors and industry, is customer first. Everything we do it for the customers. So we listen to the voice of the customers and we align everything we do with the needs and priorities of our citizens, of our community. So everything is about people. It's people-centric. And technology helps us to bring the value that we want, the transformations or the capacity that we want for digital inclusion, for digital equity, for mobility, for transportation, for public works or public safety. But at the end, it's helping people. It's helping this community become safer, more prosperous, and happier. And that's what we do. And technology is just a tool. So it's people first, then process, and finally technology. Maybe the easiest part.
Yeah, no, I love that because a lot of, you know, I think technology before the pandemic, I think a lot of us were looking at glamorizing technology as it's going to solve all our problems, right? And during the pandemic, it actually solved a lot of our problems as far as Zoom calls. Like we're doing, you know, we're meeting virtually, more increase in virtual meeting and technology enabled. But from a smart city standpoint, can you share with our listeners, because I'm sure they're really curious, like what does smart city mean? And what does a technology enabled smart city do for people? Yeah.
So I feel that we were doing smart cities a little bit before that term came into being like the mainstream. Uh-huh. I feel that our founder, George Merrick, 100 years ago, he had a vision of this city to be a smart city too, because this city was founded on innovation. So this city was founded 100 years ago, 1924, we are approaching our centennial. And Mr. Merrick, he had a vision of having a planned community, world-class. He wanted that community to have excellent municipal services, high quality of life in services. But at the same time, he came from that Garden City and City Beautiful movement, where he wanted this city also to be attractive, to be beautiful, to be harmonious with the environment in certain way, that environmental sustainability vision that we talk about today. But the same year he founded Coraguevos, and that was remarkable of his vision, he founded the University of Miami. He donated the land that became the main campus of the UN. But he had the vision of having a world-class research institution, education institution, as part of the community. So he thought about education, about research, about innovation. But at the same time, he also founded the same year the Chamber of Commerce. So he had a vision about economic growth, about jobs, about business. So he had that holistic vision. And I feel that we carried that over the years to the smart city movement as well. Besides the Mediterranean Revival and City Beautiful and Garden City movement, we joined this movement. And I feel that we are in certain way in alignment.
It feels like you had an innovative founder, but I think you need to take credit for the fact, Raimundo, that you have taken that lantern, that torch of innovation, and you're continuing to move it forward, right? So my next question is, I find it fascinating because a lot of people get freaked out about privacy, for example, facial recognition or, all these things. But I was reading in your newsletter that, smart lights and safety cameras and all of that, how does that add value to the city? But how does it also add value to the citizen? And then should we be concerned about privacy with those innovations? Yeah.
The answer is yes to everything. We should be very concerned with privacy and cybersecurity. That has top priority and compliance. We are a highly regulated agency.
Yes.
And as such, we have to protect the data, the integrity, and the safety of our customers, for our citizens. We take that very seriously. And that's why we undergo 8 audits a year. We are audited from PCI for credit card environment and e-commerce data. We are audited for HIPAA. We are protected health information type of data for our paramedics and our assistants for telemedicine, for example. We are also audited for best practices in homeland security and also everything we do that has criminal justice information involved. That can be, for example, data that we collect from CAD and record management systems for police and fire or for public safety in general or 911. So those are highly protected environments. That's why we undergo 8 audits a year from big agencies, federal agencies like FBI and FDLE and Homeland Security for police safety.
So what I'm hearing you say is that as a citizen, your data is as protected as it possibly can be based on the highly regulated. But what does it mean for me? Let's say I live in the city of Coral Gables. Why is it positive for me to have smart lights or to have, safety cameras? What does it mean for the citizen? Yeah.
Yes, it is civic value driven, and everything is aligned with needs and priorities of the community. So the community has needs related to reducing and preventing crime.
Right. So
leveraging data analytics, predictive analytics, AI, machine learning, and advanced analytics for public safety and advanced detection capabilities from hyper automation and hyper connectivity, having optical sensors like CCTV and license plate readers connected to artificial intelligence and computer vision that can analyze and detect events in real time. That helped police with tools and data that they leverage for smart policing and help them reduce crime more than 40% in just 2 years.
Wow.
So that is quality of life impacting, because when you prevent crime, then Coraguevos becomes a city that is known for protecting the safety of their citizens, leveraging advanced tools like these technologies. At the end, it's just tools to help us accomplish the mission. The vision is a safe community. That's the vision. Quality of life, preventing traffic accidents and crashes with a smart intelligence applied to intersections and to records about incidents. So that advanced and intelligent incident management is what is at the core, situational awareness. So those tools are part of that co-creative process that comes from the citizen first, from grassroots, from the community. The community wants safety, they want quality of life improvement, and that's a mandate to city officials that trickles down to executives and to people like myself and my team. We take that seriously, and we work together with all, horizontally with all the units in the organization. Technology is horizontally integrated across all the business units in the organization.
Which is excellent.
Together. So we work together with the fire chief to achieve the mission that is a mandate from the citizens. And we prove with quick wins and high ROI that those taxpayers' dollars are utilized to the maximum extent. And we prove them with best practices and compliance that also we take very seriously, privacy and security for civic good.
Yeah, so I love it. So from what I'm hearing, like, you know, anybody listening, you are highly technically, you know your technology, right? So somebody might be listening and going, oh my God, he's talking about AI and robotics and machine learning. And most of my listeners are familiar with that because we talk about that all the time. What I'm getting from you though, and what I love about what you're saying is that if we can be proactive, if technology is a tool to help us be proactive, then we are not reactive. In other words, high crime city in many cases is reactive. So crimes happen, and then you've got the whole judicial system that tries to deal with that. If we're proactive, we're preventing. It's almost like Minority Report. Do you remember that movie where you're proactively predicting crime before it actually happens?
It's a movie that gets a bad rap because it's very like this dystopian type of thing.
Yes.
But in this case, it's using technology for civic good. You know, it's like people were afraid of flying cars. We are going to see a lot of like eVTOLs and flying mobility now, aerial mobility.
Yes. When I met with you a few years ago, when I worked with you and your team, we were talking about drones. And do you remember at that time, we were talking about drones and they were surveilling dog owners to see if they were picking up their dog, business. Remember, we talked about that. Yes. Yeah.
Those are things that sometimes, you know, that's why everything has to be a co-creative process.
Yes.
A very respectful dialogue with the community. So when you bring something, it's because it is responding to a need. And it makes sense.
Yes.
I know that's a very broad term, but it has to make sense.
No, agreed. It has to be practical and real. Yeah.
Win-win for everybody.
Yeah.
So one example like that, just really, really quick. So even though we between technologists, we talk about those technical terms, but let me tell you something that makes it real. We had a big event with 50,000 people in Miracle Mile. And there was a missing child, a six-year-old child. And the parents, of course, they were very worried and they talked to a police officer. The police officer radioed our community intelligence center where we aggregate all the data and the computer vision capabilities.
Yes.
And one of my analysts at that time, in just 2 minutes, using computer vision and AI, he found the child in just 2 minutes.
Oh, that's a
morphological analysis. Just
story.
With the color of the chairs, the size, the gender, the place where it was looked. So that's the power of that technology. And that's one example out of many.
I'm sure. Yes.
Of course, there was a crime attempt in an ATM. And in just minutes, police knew where was that happening. And they intersected the people who did it. That prevents other crimes like that to happen because the goal is to prevent. The goal is to deter.
I agree. Yeah.
So those are wonderful examples of things that you say, okay, it's quality of life. So it's getting real when the citizens touch and feel the benefit of those advanced tools, call it like you want to call it, but they at the end, they are tools and technologies that enable us to do a better job.
Yeah, no, that's a great story. I love that because that's something that I think, as you know, public perception of policing has been really scrutinized in the last few years, right? But I think a lot of what you're talking about is not being presented in the media. Like, we don't hear about the preventative or the positive use of these things and how they're protecting communities. I think we need to hear more about it. But I think
if I may, let me tell you another program spearheaded by Chief Edward Hudak, a great leader in our community. He's a community leader that he has brought all these tools to good use to help improve quality of life and safety in our community, together with the fire chief, Marcos de la Rosa. And we work together as partners because we bring the technology elements that help them also achieve their vision and help their communities. And Chief Hudak had a great program recently that he implemented, one of the first of its kind. It's a drone program that we partnered with his team to implement. That drone program can put a drone at any place where it's needed for public safety in 3 minutes in the city. So if there's someone in need at any given time, that same person that is maybe calling 911, we can get eyes on the terrain, on the place with a drone in just 3 minutes, with a man. It's a man drone, but also enhances the response capabilities.
Imagine how
important it is for someone that needs help, that get the help and situational awareness in just 3 minutes. Right. That's one of the many uses that we have had of drone technology, besides yeah. many others like inspecting rooftop yes. water damage, or yes. inspecting telecom towers, or doing yes. inspections of COVID testing sites during the pandemic.
Yes, yes.
So those,
yes.
Those yeah. are many uses of drone technology that we have done over the years.
Yeah, no, fantastic. So let's kind of switch gears a little bit and talk about technology and how it's shifted the way we work. How did you guys adapt during the pandemic with your technology, and how did the city workers, did you have a lot of remote workers? How did you navigate that? Yes.
So that is one of the good things of us being working on smart city programs over the years. We never thought that we were going to be leveraging some of these technologies.
Yes.
During a crisis like that.
Yes.
But when the crisis arrived, we were very well prepared. We were already scaled to the cloud. Let's start okay. by that. Having all the workforce in Office 365 and Azure and SharePoint and Zoom already, yep. we had some use cases and Teams. Having that capability, we never knew that we were going to need it so much and so quick.
Yes.
After that. So we were very well prepared. The sense that we had scaled to the cloud already. And then we were also mobile ready. We had a robust mobile workforce. We had many of our key users in the city already with mobile devices, because that's what they use when they go and do inspections
yes.
in the field. So they were already equipped with
nice.
Mobile technology. So
yeah.
However, we never thought that was going to scale so much and so quickly during the pandemic. We had to do a lot of provisioning. I know the first 3 months since the crisis escalated in March, April, May,
yep.
those months were really intense for my team, deploying a lot of mobile capabilities to the rest of the workforce that were more like desk-oriented type of workforce.
Yes, right.
They also became part of the mobile workforce. And we had to scale our VPN systems and our cybersecurity also for remote work. And we had to implement other tools in the repertoire for telework and teleoperations.
Yeah. But again, Raimondo, because you guys were so ahead of the innovate, like you know, you're an example of what I would call a digitally technologically mature organization. So because you were digitally mature, you could adapt very quickly to that reality. And yeah, you're just a great example of that. Just cognizant of our time here, because we're coming to the close, just share with our listeners what excites you about the future when you think about technology and its impact on society and on, you know, on all of us. Like what excites you about the future and technology?
Well, it's kind of like we are living it and we are building a lot of capacities and things that we see their impact every day. And it's very easy to predict the future, the near future today, because the future is happening.
Yes.
The future is yesterday.
Yeah.
So we see things evolving so fast that they give you a sneak peek of how they're going to look in how transformational those forces are. 10 years ago, we were talking about nexus of forces and mobile, cloud, social, big data. Now those are things of the past. They are the mainstream.
Yes.
Now we're talking about the fourth industrial revolution, the fifth industrial revolution that is coming. And now we're talking about the transformational power of AI. Maybe
yes.
in trillions of dollars, even bigger than the transformational power of the internet during the 90s, which yeah. I had the fortune to live to in the private sector. So I'm seeing a lot of things happening and developing before our own eyes. But at the same time, we are participants that are very active. And we don't have a fear of those transformations, because we see the civic good potential that they have.
Yes.
When they are done correctly with yes. best practice, people-centric, and with the interest of the citizens always in mind. So we do things with common sense, and
yeah.
and we try to honor our history and the culture of our city and our residents in everything we do. Just to give you one quick example. So we are deploying next generation of modular smart city poles that aggregate, implement our special engineering technology to have everything in one single furniture. And we partnered with the Italian firm Pininfarina to improve the design, make it an industrial design that honors our history and our Mediterranean
nice.
Revival vision.
I love
of
that.
From
yes.
our founder. So we are bringing technology that doesn't need to be ugly, doesn't need to be extremely disruptive, has to also have an harmony and respect the character and the vision of our community as well.
Yeah, I love everything you've said today, Raimondo, because I think for all our listeners, what I get from you is that there is the honoring of the history. There is a bringing along the historic relevance to today, and then planning the future, or living the future, as you said, because the future is now, based on honoring and respecting all that. And because you have been, and I've worked with you, and I know that it's true, you are people-centric, you're citizen-centric. All of your employees, the majority of them that I've met, are very engaged because it's a very interactive dynamic between the work they do and the value that they see they're creating for the city and for their citizens. So I'm really thrilled that you were able to talk with us, that you had the time to share with us. And if anybody wanted to reach out to you for more information, how would they reach you? What's the best place to find you, Raimundo?
I would welcome everybody to explore some of those technologies that we have open and transparent to the public and the ecosystem. They can go to our digital library. It's coralgables.com/ITDocs, I-T-D-O-C-S. And there Wonderful. You will find access to our digital twin, our smart city hubs, our open data, and everything that I have talked about today.
So what's lovely, again, is that open source, that transparency, making it available. That's true technology generosity, in my opinion. So for everybody listening, Raimundo Rodolfo, can they find you on LinkedIn as well, Raimundo, if they wanted to connect with you directly? Yeah.
With my name, Raimundo Rodolfo, together, you will find me in LinkedIn.
I'll put that in the posting as well. I'll put that in there so that people can reach out to you if they want to. Thank you again for your time. Excellent, excellent discussion around technology, how it's helping people, keeping people safe. I think we should do a part two in the future, and we'll talk about more about what that means. So thank you again,
Raimundo. Thank you, Sherry, for your advice over the years and your expertise, and also your futuristic vision that always helps us to see a little bit how we are going to evolve over the years with the society as a whole.
Thank you again. Take care.
Thank you.